Good afternoon, Luba Maikiso. Thanks for your time.
Good afternoon, Kathy. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Ah, nice and chilly and cold in Cape Town, but what can we do?
Yeah.
At least with water.
And you share. You share. Because everything that happens in Cape Town comes to Joburg. Thanks, Luba.
In time.
All right. Luba, can you explain to myself and the listeners about this land expropriation without compensation, with compensation? Simon, who's joining us in studio, Simon Anstey, he was actually, well, you know what, you tell Luba what was said around the Shabbos table, Simon.
I'm not proud of it because I think it was idiocy in the highest degree, but people are worried that they're going to lose their apartments. You know, it's gone to that extent, the fear.
Apartments?
Yep.
Apartments.
Well, they're flats.
Okay, so...
How did you get there?
Exactly.
Lift, Luba.
You know, Kathy, my view has been, if you saw on the post, I mean, I did get some flack around them. And I think the challenge we have in South Africa is that we come from two different worlds. Mm-hmm. And the other doesn't understand the other's history. And that's why I said it's sometimes helpful to just understand where black people come from in terms of the land issue. Sorry, I'm going to have to just move. I'm competing with a...
Oh, you know what this is? This is one of those BBC moments. Do you remember that correspondent? And the toddler walked in, and the next thing his wife went in and shushed the kids out. That's what just happened here. Yeah,
no, he's playing PlayStation, but he's gone online with some of his mates. So I'm losing the battle. He says he was there first, so must move. You know what I said to people, Kathy, is that I think if you take a step back and try and understand where we've come from, you know, without trawling into a horrible history of colonialism, but there is a history of dispossession. And when you go through our history, particularly to the period ending up in the 1870s, 1890s, and then moving to 1913. So if you really think about it, you've got this whole country and 13% of the land being allocated to black people, yet we were in the majority, but we had so little land. And then where I grew up, for instance, the homelands. So you move black people into homelands, you know, KwaZulu-Natal, Ciskei, Transkei, Gwaagwaa, Venden, all of those places, which were really where nobody wanted to be. So if I grew up in Alice, you know, East London was the harbor, was a city, but it was far away from us. So we were given the land effective that nobody wanted. So you fast forward to 1994 and beyond, and then you sit and say, how do we deal with this issue? Because if I go to the homelands like Ciskei, yes, a lot of the land will still be held in trust by tribal authorities. But if you come to the Western Cape and places like Northern Cape and Free State, you know, from Cape Town to literally Grahamstown, you won't find a single rural village. It'll just be farms. So at some stage, we need to address the land issue. And land is a thorny issue because in the African context, you know, if you're a man, you need to own land, and that's how it's defined. So I remember years ago visiting KZN where a relative of mine had unfortunately made a girl pregnant. His dad said to him, you know, I'm going to buy you a plot of land, go get a job and build a house. So that's always been the thinking, that you get a portion of land and that defines your existence, that you're a man, you're a person, and you exist, and you can lay claim to a piece of land. So many people can't do that, can't lay claim to a piece of land. And we have to find ways to address this issue. Now, before people get very emotional, I always say the examples of Zimbabwe and Venezuela don't always help, because South Africa is a bit unique. A lot of African countries, if you go to Angola, you go to Namibia, you go to Zimbabwe and Mozambique, they had civil wars, bloody civil wars. And in many cases, the net result of a civil war was that anybody who was perceived as white or from European ancestry packed their bags and left, either before the civil war or during or after. An example being Mozambique. 1975, 200,000 Portuguese Mozambicans. Right now, less than 50,000. So South Africa, unlike the norm in Africa, here, white people said, we agreed on a negotiated solution. So we didn't have an all-out civil war. I thank the Lord for that. But the net result was that we then sat as both sides in the same piece of land.
Which is actually excellent news, Luba.
It's excellent news.
It's brilliant news because we broke the mold. We set our own rules. We did not follow the African narrative.
Yes, with no, not just African, many countries.
The rest of this continent.
Okay, we didn't follow the norm, but the challenge is what the norm would have done is it would have literally removed your former colonial master, and you'd be left as an African all by yourself to decide what to do about the economy and the land. So what we then got was essentially, for lack of a better word, your former colonial master and yourself sitting around a table and saying, how do we go forward? So what we have is a challenge that nobody else has really faced. I said, for instance, you know, I think that there are about 5.7 million white people on the continent and 4.9 million of them are in South Africa. So we've got 87% of the white population. No, I'm not complaining, but what I'm saying is the solutions that we have to find, there's no copy and paste. So we can't go to Kenya, we can't go to Tanzania, Nigeria and say, what did they do? Yeah. We can do the same, because our situation is very different. But the glaring fact that we have to deal with is that the land, a lot of it still sits in white hands, and a lot of the economy still sits in white hands. Now,
what land are we talking about? What land are we talking about? Are we talking about this old granny's apartment
that she was worried about? It's more the farming land that you're talking about. It's more, you know, agricultural land, not so much, let's say, your house in Joburg and Sandton and in Pretoria East. We're talking more of agricultural land.
Why agricultural land? Why not somebody's house in Sandton?
Well, look, at the end of the day, I suppose government has focused on the big bits of land, and that is mostly agricultural land. And a lot of it, if we are honest, there are some very huge farms out there that you can, I know there are laws against subdividing farms, but you can redistribute that land far easier than you can. I mean, you're not going to walk into somebody's house in Sandhurst and say, I'm going to cut this house into four pieces. Nobody is proposing that. But what is being proposed is, how do you make sure that those who don't have something do have something as well? And this is where the debate is getting a bit awkward, because the compensation, the expropriation mechanism has been there in the Constitution. It hasn't been used by government for many years. Now, the question is, I think before we even get to that, is it desirable? The simple answer is you have to find a way to redress the situation and do it without bringing too much emotion into it. But unfortunately, emotion does come in, because the one side says, you're stealing my productive farm, you're going to give it to people. Look what happened in Zimbabwe. It's going to become derelict and people can't farm and we will starve. So, and then on the black side, it then becomes an argument as, oh, okay, you're saying we can't farm. So it starts to get very personal, as opposed to sitting back and saying, are we able to reapportion land? And some of these, because, look, I'm going to be honest, I remember being at school and sitting and having white friends who owned farms that you could drive for several days before you got to the other end. So there are some huge farms out there. Now, the question is, let's be blunt. Does every single black person want to farm? No. Is every black person looking for a farm? No, certainly not. So I think there's more hype to it than substance, because not everybody wants to be a farmer. And I can tell you, I've been a farmer, and I wouldn't mind going back into farming, but I don't think farming is everybody's cup of tea. It's hard work. It's, you know, many long hours, and before you see anything, it's several years. So there is a kind of romantic hype about farmland, which is
Luba,
quite excited.
Simon has got a question for you.
So, sure. Luba, the emphasis on agricultural land only is something I've always struggled with. I don't understand why dispossessed people working in cities wouldn't want title deeds to properties in and around cities closer to their place of work. Why is there no emphasis on, I don't know, swaths of land in Midrand and southern Joburg and wherever there's land available closer to the metropolitan areas?
Simon, that discussion is there. I mean, I had a chat with one of the top lawyers who was involved in drafting the constitution, and his answer was, who the hell wants to farm? People want land in the cities. You know, I've moved to Johannesburg. I want a piece of land where I can build a house. So certainly, that's why I'm saying the talk from government side tends to be mostly about farms, the audit about the farms, because that's what's been done. But the average person, if you look at the land grabs around Hermanus, around Cape Town, people are looking for places in the CBD. I'm not in the CBD, in the urban areas. So certainly that's what a lot of people are looking for.
Which makes sense.
I can't explain.
You've got an asset.
I can't explain why there are no title deeds. Let me give you our example. My parents looked for, tried to buy a farm in the old Siskai when my dad was around. So they're saying around about 1985. We only saw that title deed in 2010. I don't know why, but the title deed had been with the South African government. It had created homelands and had not passed over title deeds. And for a good old 20 years, nobody knew where the title deed was. So I do know that government is trying to fast track getting those title deeds to people at the moment, because some people are looking for that surety of saying, I have a title deed. Remember, council houses in the townships were a peculiar kind of situation where people didn't have a title deed. So I know the Department of Human Settlements is addressing that issue in the urban area, but also for those who just want a piece of ground where they can build something on.
All right, Luba, that's where we have to leave it today. But I am going to get you back for sure, because I think that it's
Kathy, what I would suggest we do is I think we need to just look at hearing the emotions behind it. Because for me, I think, as with many people, once you hear people out, you will find that the demands and the noise becomes a lot less. Yeah. A lot of people just want to be heard.
Sure, 100%. Thank you very, very much, Luba Maikisa.
We will
follow you on Facebook, and we're going to get you back here on the afternoon drive. Thank you so much for the time. God bless.
Thanks.
Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.